14 years ago, when I decided to give the first Dharma talk here in this village, I had to contemplate for several days about how to present the whole notion of meditation and spiritual practice so that it might be understandable and not too academic and not too esoteric, but something that people could relate to easily. And after a while, I came upon the notion that I needed to speak about meditation as a way of learning to love oneself, learning to love yourself is what happens in meditation practice. And now, all these years later, coming full circle, I want to speak about loving oneself today. Again, how to learn to love yourself. On the surface, it would seem like a good idea and no particular problem. I mean, you're the only one you have, actually. You're the one who's closest to yourself. So therefore, it should be a snap. But no, loving yourself is actually not very easy to do. We find it much easier to conjure up love for others than for ourselves. People who practice regularly loving kindness meditation, and part of which is learning to love oneself and care for oneself, find that it's a very difficult practice. You have to be able to be with your pain in order to love yourself. Paradoxically, you have to be able to sit through discomfort and unpleasantness in order to love yourself. It simply isn't easy to do. It takes a lot of effort, and it also takes a commitment to learning from the experience. You can't just conjure up feelings of love for yourself. It doesn't work that way. I mean, many people try and pretend loving oneself as though it were easy to do. But that way of going is very superficial and has no depth and doesn't last very long. Isn't deep. Really, authentically loving yourself is an incredibly profound experience. It may happen in a flash, or it may happen in gradating experiences, but it means actually doing some kind of investigation and work, because you can't love yourself if you don't know yourself. And the more you do know yourself, the more it's possible to love yourself. What gets in the way of loving oneself is, of course, the ego mind, the ego thoughts. If you've noticed your own egoic disposition, for most people that I've ever met, the ego self is a very critical voice. It talks mean to you sometimes. And it wants you to be better than you are, wants you to be different from the way you are. And that isn't loving oneself, actually. It's working at self-improvement, the assumption being that you're not okay. the way you are. And the loving that I'm speaking of, when there's an authentic, truly loving oneself, is unconditional. Unconditionally loving oneself, not getting swept up by self-criticism and self-hatred, which is so common. Self-hatred is so common in our world. You see the results of it everywhere, in the news, in international relations, in the way people treat each other. Learning to love oneself, as soon as you begin that investigation, how to love oneself, how do you really do it, you immediately find a big resistance comes in the mind against doing the work. It's as though the ego self doesn't want to feel love toward itself. Surprisingly, what it wants to do is nag you and be critical and tell you what you need and what's lacking and how you need to improve. That's what it does mostly. So immediately in undergoing a contemplation of an investigation of the possibility of loving oneself, you may well find an obstruction pretty quickly. I'll give you an example from my own experience. This morning, in meditating on this topic in preparation for this talk, I sat down to my meditation session and immediately noticed that my mind was irritable. My mind was cranky and very irritable, complaining about everything without any need. I had a good night's sleep. I felt good when I woke up. But as soon as this project I entered into, that's what happened. I noticed that. It's helpful to be mindful. I thought, oh, this is interesting. It was not pleasant, actually, at all. It was quite unpleasant. But I think, well, it's interesting that this is happening. And then, out of nowhere, I was flooded with terrible thoughts. Out of nowhere, suddenly I'm thinking about a story I read years ago about a man who was in way out in frontier Alaska and got attacked and eaten by a grizzly bear. That's what came into my mind. It was a lovely morning. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, and I'm sitting there flooded by thoughts of grizzly bears eating a man. And very vividly, oh, I began to feel really terrible. And then I noticed that and realized, oh, this is because I'm meditating on loving myself. And then, out of nowhere, came a whole flood of thoughts about the German pilot who crashed the airplane a few weeks ago in the suicide and killing 150 people. I had to investigate that whole story again. And that happens so quickly, there is no time to really do anything but go with it. It's what's happening. And then mindfulness kicks in. Oh, look what's going on here now. Look what this is. There is a way that the egoic mind is structured in a polarity system. It's divided consciousness, just like everything in our world is. The ego mind is divided too. And there's always the the major two sides. You could describe them as the judge and the criminal, or the parent and the child is a common description. The accuser and the guilty. The one who knows and the one who's screwing up all the time. That kind of polarity is pretty common. In fact, I haven't met in my work anyone who doesn't experience that kind of polarity in the mind. I've watched it and worked with that over the years with many, many people. The story is always the same. It's what my teacher, Fritz Perls, used to call the top dog and the underdog. At it again, or still. Because this war between the two sides, the war is ongoing. It doesn't really let up without the arrival of awareness, mindful awareness, the judge and the criminal. So my mind then goes to, oh, look what's happening. You're really not going to be able to feel anything nice now because this I'm just filling you up with bad thoughts and cranky mind. And then the other side goes, well, you got to have a sense of humor about this. Now, keep your sense of humor. It's possible even to love the cranky mind. It's possible to love it all. I remember that from somewhere. And then the argument is ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. Gradually, the reality of being present in the moment began to dawn, and I started to listen to silence, and I started to feel body experience in the moment, and became more and more aware of being there and returned in a way to my regular, ordinary self, kind of shaken up and bruised and battered, having been beaten up by my own mind. And I had to laugh because what it all was about was that I was trying to love myself. The ego mind doesn't want that. If you try to love yourself, it'll tell you how screwed up you are. It will invade your awareness with negativity and with all kinds of horrors. There is no limit to the way the ego mind can avoid love, particularly love for oneself, particularly the number one person in your life. Love for that one. I love myself. I really love myself. But I have to love myself even when I'm bombarded with uncomfortable thoughts. I want to love myself all the time, not just in moments when everything is going right. I'd like to love myself constantly. I think that's a basic human need, is to be loved by oneself. I think that's a basic human right, actually. How paradoxical that we have to work for it, struggle for it. But that is the way it is. I've investigated the topic for many, many years. And there is always the obstruction to the awareness of simply being here in love with life and oneself. Always an obstruction. They don't last. They come and they go. But they appear, and without mindfulness, there is no way, actually, of finding love for oneself. Without mindfulness, what happens is you get swept away in negative thoughts, negativity, and darkness. That's what comes with the impulse, the determination to love oneself. So it's not surprising to me that self-love is so absent, really, in this world. If you've ever examined your feelings towards yourself, you'll notice that it's very difficult to just flat out, undeniably, unconditionally love who you are, moment to moment to moment. There's always the other side, hanging around, waiting to pounce. That's how it is. And somehow, since that's how it is, it can't be all a bad thing. It must be okay. That's how we learn. And then I remember, yes, we do learn through our suffering. We learn to find compassion through our own suffering. We find compassion for others as well as ourselves. We learn about the preciousness of life through our own suffering. We learn about the importance of being kind to each other and loving the people who are next to us through our suffering. That's how we learn. Now, I don't know who made all that up, but that's how we humans work. In order to find love, in order to find real happiness, and self-love is happiness. Maybe it's true that happiness isn't possible without self-love. In order to find that, in order to discover it, there has to be a willingness to feel the pain, to look closely at how it actually is. There has to be determination to awaken no matter what arises. And having that determination rouses the grizzly bears. As soon as you have that determination, there is that voice inside, and sometimes there's more than one, that says, well, you can try, but there isn't anything that you do that's right. Is that a familiar voice? When are you going to learn how? Is that a familiar voice? Of course. I don't know anyone who has never experienced that kind of voice. I think actually that it's universal. Now, perhaps that's simply the situation, and our position is to find love in the middle of all that. Seems that way. Because meditation, which is a way of learning to love oneself directly, it certainly is. I was right all those years ago when I decided to teach meditation from that point of view. I think that self-love can come from the sitting down, deciding to discover it, and then going about opening to looking at how it is. Not conjuring up any phony feelings of love. I don't really believe in affirmations either, to tell you the truth. You can affirm how wonderful you are from now until the end of time, and it doesn't change the ego. The ego will laugh at you. The ego mind knows what it's doing. It's keeping your attention focused on separation. It's keeping your attention focused on being different and not together with everyone else, keeping your attention focused on loneliness. Loneliness, despair, and all of that awful feeling that comes with falling into darkness that occurs every so often with all of us. You don't go on a spiritual path with seriousness an authentic effort without occasionally walking through the forest of darkness. It's necessary, seems to be necessary, because that's the way it is. However, in the process of learning that way, there is always the possibility of awakening out of it. Awakening seems to happen more often when you're involved in the search and the investigation than not, I believe. There's always the possibility of awakening. It does happen. It's always possible to have your sense of humor. It's possible to laugh at the voices. It's possible to laugh at yourself. Maybe loving yourself includes laughing at yourself. Laughing at your own self for being lovable, for being so helpless, for being so innocent, for being so well-intentioned, actually. Laughing at yourself for being just a good person. Those feelings come not through the thoughts, obviously, but they seep in the spaces in between thoughts. And they seep in with mindfulness. This morning for me, when I was being mindful of the process that was really quite uncomfortable and painful, I at the same time felt the humor of it. Oh, here I sit in paradise. The sun and the birds and the cats are purring and life is wonderful. Here I sit in the middle of it all, thinking about being eaten by grizzly bears and being in plane crashes. One has to laugh at that, really. It's so absurd. The human condition. Learning to love oneself obviously has to involve acceptance of the human condition. Acceptance, allowing, actually embracing. When we embrace the human condition, the horror and the wonder of it, all of it, that's loving oneself. Then it becomes possible. And when that's possible, love is possible, happiness is possible, and deep peace of mind is possible. Even though there's all the chattering going on, the whole context of it is in peace and quiet, contentment, and a willingness to be here in the middle of it all. A willingness to be here, smiling, loving, open to the next moment, feeling the breath, all the sensations of the body, hearing silence and the sound of silence, and feeling very deeply gratitude for life. Gratitude for life. Gratitude for the opportunity to be doing this kind of practice. Waking up. Waking up. To love, waking up to loving you, yourself first. From it, everything comes. From that, everything flows. Love yourself. Thank you.